All right. How many of you brought a Bible? Say amen. Amen. I've been cheating. I've been putting verses up on the screen all weekend. I ain't doing that today. Get your Bible out. Okay? I want you to turn to two places real fast. Listen, by the way, we've got dinner downstairs. I mean, we got good dinner downstairs. I mean, we've got it laid all over the place. There's food everywhere. We've had food this weekend. We had barbecued pork yesterday. Wasn't that good? Amen? Oh, it was delicious, and we've got chicken downstairs from Chicken Charlie's. Not that Chinese chicken from Walmart, amen? Yeah, she's down there getting the deviled eggs before Jimmy gets down there, amen? But anyway, we invite you to stay. We've got food laying everywhere down there, and you say, well, I didn't bring anything. Well, you're the one we got it for. Amen? You're the one we got it for, and we want you to stay in fellowship with us. And then this afternoon now at 2:30 is going to be our evening service. And I'm just letting everybody know it watches on the internet. That'll be at 2:30 this afternoon, and we'll be over and done with. And some of these folks that have traveled in, they might start making their way home this afternoon. We don't know, but it's been sure a delight to have them with us and getting to meet some of the people that send me emails all the time and flood my email box with stuff every day. Now I get to see who their face is, and we appreciate them, and we're going to have you back next year if you'll come back. Amen? Amen. And you can just listen, you don't have to wait for August. You can come down here anytime and just visit with us. Roy does. Amen? He comes down here all the time. He walked in the other day, and we just, what are you doing down here? And he turned around and left. Anyway, we just appreciate it, and that's what we want to be. We want to be home. We want to be family. And family, you know, sometimes family, it's nice to go visit every now and then, but then you got to go back. Amen, you know. But anyway, that's what we want to be, and we want to be a blessing to you, and we're glad that you're here, and you have been a blessing to us, and we appreciate that. The book of Daniel, chapter 2, is the first place I want you to turn. Turn there real fast, and I'm going to try to preach real fast, and try to share some things that the Lord has laid on my heart. I struggled with the message last night, and just I was tired, wore out, and every time I bowed my head to pray, I'd go to sleep. And I finally said, God, you're going to have to keep me awake long enough. Give me a message and help me work on this. And I've been preaching through the Ten Commandments, and was just going over some verses of Scripture, and lo and behold, God just kind of laid some things out very plainly for us. And I'm just going to preach plain things this morning. I'm not going to preach something real deep and something big, some big super thing. I'm just going to preach something that you already know, but it's something I haven't preached in a long time here. And I'm going to preach it this morning, but I'm going to try to build up to it so that you can understand a little bit about the Bible this morning and how God works. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. How many of you there? Say amen. Amen. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. He had a dream, and he couldn't remember what that vision was. And he had to try to have his astrologers and his magicians and everybody else, those that practice the occult, and they couldn't figure it out. Just a warning to you, don't turn to the occult. Amen. Don't turn to secret knowledge, and don't turn to mystical stuff. And you don't need all that stuff. It won't work. It's not real. Amen. If you want to uncover secrets, just get your Bible out and start reading. You'll find out all kinds of things about yourself. Amen. But anyway, here's Daniel is going to interpret by way of God the dream that he had. So he said in verse 31, Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. Now I want you to think of this image now. It's an idol. And we just learned last Sunday that we ought not pray to idols and build idols. Can I hear you say amen? Nebuchadnezzar ends up building one back over in the next chapter. And he makes everybody bow down to it. And of course we know the story about that. But anyway, there's this idol. And this idol is going to be a picture of who the Bible calls the man of sin. The man of sin. The Antichrist. The beast. The final world power and the world dictator, and it's all these things that everybody's been warning everybody about. He is coming onto this earth. You mark it down. The Bible's going to be right. Somebody say amen. But he's called the man of sin. He represents the sinfulness of all of mankind. He represents your lust. He represents your desires, your greed, your murders. He represents what is in you that if you're saved and born again, you don't want it in there no more. Somebody say amen. You want to get that thing out of you. Well, that's who the man of sin represents. And I'm saying that for a reason. So he said, Thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet. I want you to look at his feet now. his feet part of iron and part of clay. And thou sawest, now I want to stop right here for a minute. Okay? The Bible uses symbolisms, especially of the human body. And if you can look down and see your toes, which I can't, okay? No, I'm just kidding. If you look down and see your toes, your feet, there's a number there. And it's the number 10, okay? 10 represents, and we're studying the Ten Commandments. 10 represents the law, it represents dominion. And when you're standing on something, you have dominion over that. That's the symbolism of the Bible. In Joshua, they went and stood on the necks of these five kings, these five lords, and Joshua said, "Thus shall the Lord God do to all your enemies against whom you fight." In other words, you're going to have victory over your enemies through the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can have victory over your enemies, and everybody here's got them. You've got enemies. Amen? Roy, who's your biggest enemy? That's exactly right. The one looking at you in the mirror, that's your biggest enemy. Somebody say amen. It's your rotten flesh. One of these days, God's going to give you dominion over that. He's going to give you victory. But watch this now. The curse of the law, because men will not obey and keep the law of God, God puts a curse on them in that something, instead of the real God having dominion over them, an idol God is going to have dominion over them. And the last kingdom that Daniel talks about is that feet kingdom with the 10 toes. And the 10 toes represent 10 kings. In the book of Revelation, we see a beast that has 10 horns, and those 10 horns represent 10 kings who are going to have dominion over the entire earth in the last days. How many of you see that coming right now? Amen. You see, they're conglomerating all the power of the earth to have total power over everybody in the world, including those of us living in the United States. And so watch this. Now watch these feet, okay? Because these feet are going to have dominion. And it specifically talks about the feet and it talks about the toes a little bit later on. So watch this, okay? Verse 33 again. His legs of iron, his feet, part of iron and part of clay. Now look at verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands. That is Jesus Christ. He's the stone that the builders rejected. Amen? He's the stone of the temple that no iron was laid to. He is the chief corner stone of our lives. Somebody say amen. He's the rock upon which the church is built on. Somebody say amen. He is the crushing stone that if you fall on him and be broken, you'll be blessed. But if you will not, the stone will fall upon you and grind you into powder, and you'll be trodden under the feet of men. So that this stone here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image where? Notice that he did not go after his head, his chest, or his legs. The stone smote the... Watch this now. The stone smote the image on the feet. When you cut out the feet of something that stands, what happens to it? I think God knows just how to attack our enemies. So he goes after the 10 toes and smites the image so that it falls and is ground into powder. And then that stone becomes a mountain, and it's the mountain of the Lord's house. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I'm going to try to preach 3 points before 12 o'clock. I'm going to try to preach 3 points of my sermon before 12:15. Who said whatever? 1 Corinthians 15. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Look at this. How many believe in the rapture? Say amen. Amen. You should. It's biblical. The term is not in the Bible, but the idea and the doctrine is. God's going to take us away one of these days. Can I hear you say amen? And you know what's going to be said? Verse 55, 1 Corinthians verse 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Watch this now. The sting of death is sin. What is the strength of sin? The law. The Ten Commandments. God
the stone, the strength of the man of sin, what gives the man of sin his ability and his strength and his dominion over mankind is actually the law of God. And men cannot keep the law of God, and so therefore they are under the curse of the law. And you and I, without Christ, are under the curse of the law. And that sin has dominion over us. But then, and the strength of sin, the strength of this image and his dominion is actually in the law, in the Ten Commandments. But then Christ came, when he died on the, Christ came in the image of the law, in the fashion of the law. And he took with him on the cross the curse of the law, and he killed the curse when he died on the cross. How many of you understand that doctrine? Say amen. Okay? The Bible says that he took those handwriting of ordinances that was against us, nailing them to his cross. And so when Jesus begins to break down the kingdom of the Antichrist in the last days, he's already accomplished the act of destroying the beast when he died on the cross. So the stone cut without hands comes and attacks the beast, not the head, not the chest, not the legs, but right at its feet. He destroys the power and the curse of the law so that when that happens, the whole thing comes crashing down. Somebody say amen. Amen. I just thought I'd try to make you a little happy this morning. Forgive me. Exodus chapter 20. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Hurry up. This is the Ten Commandments. I mean, you ought to know them by now. And if you don't, if you can't quote them from memory, I guarantee you, you know what they are when you break them. Amen? You may not be able to quote them from memory, but when you commit one of them, you go, that was a commandment, wasn't it? Exodus chapter 20. Let me pray real quick. God, help me preach, Lord. My body's tired. My soul, dear God, my spirit are rejoicing. My body's tired. And Lord, Father, just help me to preach this message. And let it be a blessing to people. And Father, Lord, if Lord, I pray, dear God, that, Lord, maybe a little, I'm hoping, dear God, that nobody's guilty of this. I don't want that, God. But if there's somebody's guilty, Lord, of this morning, God, may they repent. And may Jesus come, the stone cut without hands, and destroy the power of the curse of sin in their lives, dear God. And Lord, Father, let that be. And Lord, Father, just clear our hearts and our minds for the service this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Exodus chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Somebody say amen. Let's consent to that. Let's say that the law is good. Amen. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Somebody say amen to that. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Let me stop right and throw this in. I mentioned during Sunday school that about the time Elvis died, I had some 8-track cassettes of Elvis. And that was a real stronghold in my life. And I used to really like to listen to Elvis. And God finally, I got rid of that and moved away from it. Years ago, I was out on visitation. Me and old Warren Bergman was out visiting. And we was looking for somebody's apartment. We couldn't find it. We ended up knocking on the door of a guy. And we opened the door. And it was a young guy there living by himself. And you could tell that his hair was not naturally black. But he had dyed his hair black. He had grew his sideburns way down to here. And on the TV, he was playing an Elvis video, and all on all his walls was paintings and pictures of Elvis Presley everywhere. Okay? This guy lived in a little fantasy land. And Warren and I walked away from there, and we just kind of looked at each other and said, Warren said, you can tell who his God is. He had raised up a God of his life named Elvis Presley, a man who was squirming in the bowels of hell. You don't believe Elvis was born again, do you? See, he put on that. He made that look real good. But that man was lost as a goose. Okay? And I figured you'd say amen to that. But I'm just telling you, that was his God. And God will not allow you to have other gods before him. Let me hear you say amen. But anyway, I just remembered that. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God,
visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, keep my commandments. Now verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I want us to bow our head this morning. I want to pray one more time. And I want you to think about this verse. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I want you to think about that and ask God to help you. Father, Lord, again, help these people. Help me, dear God. And help us to understand and receive the message. And Lord, Father, if Lord, we need to repent, let us repent. Lord, if there's a stronghold of the devil in our lives, dear God, through this law, we pray, Lord, that you'd drive him away. And Lord, Father, just bless your people and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I got three things on here real fast. And like I say, this is not anything big and amazing. And it's not the next Watchman video broadcast or anything like that. But there's just three things that are taught here and three things that are implied in here. Number one, very quickly, is this idea of cursing. He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When I was growing up, my mom would sit back here and she'll tell you that when I was growing up, dirty words tasted just like soap. And I can remember my mama washing my mouth out with soap. That was awful. Huh? Yeah. I even got accused. I said a word, poke salad, one time, and the boys around me said, oh, that's a dirty word. All, and they had me crying. They said, your mama's going to kill you for saying poke salad. Yeah. But I remember one time when I was a teenager, I'd gotten off with a bunch of boys in high school, and had some pretty good buddies there, and what happened after that was eventually they really respected the fact that I would pray over my meal at lunch, and I wasn't doing that for a show. I was doing that because that's what God convicted me to do, and I wasn't trying to show off. But they knew that when I sat down at lunch that I was going to pray over that meal. But before that, I remember coming down the altar one time, and old Ken Goff come down there. He said, Mike, he said, I've been hearing some things about you. Well, I'd have been sure what he was talking about. And I wouldn't, you know, because there were several things that God was dealing with about, but I wouldn't go tell him that. Amen. But God had laid it on my heart that day that I'd been running around with those boys at school and I'd been saying dirty words. I'd been using little D words and little H words, and they were using it. You know, you get to an age where those words are cool. And God began to convict me about the filth that was sliding out of my mouth. And I had to get down to the altar and I had to repent of that. And I had to just kind of make myself not say that stuff anymore. I used to work in construction. I used to work around carpenters and bricklayers and drywall hangers and painters, and used to be one of them. And I used to hear all that stuff. Okay? Now you listen now. I used to hear all that stuff every day. Every day it was, everybody used to say just all kinds of words, and it was just normal. When you're out on a construction site, that is the accepted language. And some of you nod in your head, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're out in that kind of environment, that's exactly what you're going to hear. And I will admit to you that it was a real struggle to stay away from that stuff and not be part of it. Because when you're around it, it starts coming out of you. What goes in does come out of you. Can I hear you say amen? Even some of the movies and the TV shows that we watch, and you were going, man, I hope he doesn't get off on that. Can I tell you that some of that stuff should not be on our television? It should not be piped into our iPods. And I want to tell you something. I've preached against rock and roll pretty hard. You know what? I may just stick with this part right here. I'm running out of time real fast. And I want to. We've had a long weekend. We've had a lot of preaching and teaching. And I want the Lord to move. I really do. But I think I'm going to stick with this one issue this morning. And I've got several things to preach on. We'll just maybe preach on them next Sunday. But I'm going to stick with this one issue for now. I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart. Okay? I was always taught biblically This is not just some traditional family thing. That as a Christian, there are just some things that you don't talk about and some things you don't say. And I'm talking about the sin of cursing. And I'm not going to give a whole lot of examples up here, but you should, I mean, if you find it difficult and in your conversations you say, what the blank is going on here? There's something wrong with your soul. You need to repent. Well, I don't want this blankety blank thing sitting here. Get this blank thing out of the blanking way. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And usually, some of you do pretty good as long as you don't get mad. But for some reason, when we get that, I don't know, I've never figured this out. I don't know what it is. But when you get really good and mad, and you let out a curse word out of your mouth, for some reason, that's just like going, don't, and let's be honest, don't they feel good when we finally get to let them out? Be honest. There's something about curse words that when we're really upset and mad about something, when we let them fly out of us, we just go, man, I got that out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Be honest. Be honest. Feels good. Until it dawns on you that your wife heard that or your kids heard that. And I don't know what it is. You can substitute some other word, like bicycle. What the bicycle's going on here? And you don't get it. It doesn't. You're not satisfied until you curse. I'm talking about in your flesh. Am I telling you the truth this morning? You see, sin always brings pleasure for a season. And if it didn't, we wouldn't do it. This is why when we curse, we don't just say normal cartoon words. We say filthy, cursing, vile words. And they feel good. Because sin, you just might as well write it down. If God said don't do it, for some reason, if we do it, our flesh is just really satisfied that we did. And therein lies the problem. Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And some of you sitting here today, or some of you listening to this, you may not have an issue with adultery. You may not have an issue with stealing. You may not have an issue with murder. You may not have an issue with anything else. But you've got a tongue problem. And you are not satisfied in the heat of anything until you curse. And it just makes your flesh feel good and this and that. But I'm going to tell you, the damage has been done. And let me say this to some moms and dads. God is the one who designed children. He wasn't the psychologist and the psychiatrist. Amen. God designed them. Did you know that down deep inside, in the heart of your child, they would much rather you spank them than curse them? Now, I remember one time I was working in these people's homes. They were refurbishing their basement, and I was down there doing the drywall and painting and everything like that. And this family, they had a teenage daughter, something like that, and the mom was home. Her and the daughter was home one time. They was upstairs. And the mom got mad at the daughter, and she said, blank, blankety, Renee. She cursed her daughter. And that just went all over me. And I wanted to go up and grab that lady and slap her around and say, that's your daughter. You don't do that. But I've felt it before. I have felt wanting to say that to my children. And that's not right. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do not say, oh my God. Don't you say that. You need your mouth washed out with soap. Young people, and in fact, just eliminate the letters OMG from your text messages and your Facebook page. Because that's what it is. And all those other letters those acronyms that you use in text messages and Facebook where there's cursing involved but you're not actually saying it. Everybody knows that it, what it is. And, you know, when you say it, it, you know, kind of goes in someone's hearing. They may forget about it. When you send it in text message or post it on Facebook, it's there. And everybody knows you've got a filthy mouth. The book of James says this in James chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." When you blank you to somebody, you're cursing men. You don't say, "Oh my God." You don't say, "God this." You don't say, "God that." You don't get mad and say, "Jesus Christ Almighty." You don't say that stuff. That's wicked. That is cursing, and that is taking the Lord's name in your vanity. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. You should have been raised the way I was raised. Have your mouth washed out with soap and have a little belt applied to you. Have a little leather applied to your backside. You don't say that stuff. James said verse 10, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing." You come in here in this church and you say, "Amen, preacher. That's good preaching on them idols. That's good preaching on this cigarette smoking. That's good preaching on that liquor drinking." And you, "Amen and amen and bless God" here on Sunday morning. You walk out there and rub shoulders with the lost crowd and you curse. Who are we kidding? The lost man sees right through it. The lost man knows that he's not supposed to use that kind of language. Lost man knows it. "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." You know what I'm saying to you? When your heart gets saved, your tongue should get saved too. Psalm 10, verse 4. "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways also are grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he puffeth at them. He saith in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity." Listen to this now. His mouth is full of cursing. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. You know what the Bible's telling me? If you'll curse, you'll lie too. That's what it says. It says that anybody whose mouth is full of cursing, their mouth can also just as easily lie and defraud people. So if you're somebody and you've got a problem with your tongue and you can't hold it back, you cannot be trusted. That's just what the Bible says. Psalm 59, verse 12, "For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak." See, there's another place where the Bible said if you've got a mouthful of cursing, you're a liar too. Twice. Now, if you didn't believe the first verse, maybe you should believe both of them together. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know what that means? Your mouth and your throat is just a grave pit. "And their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Somebody says, "You kiss your mother with that mouth?" Amen. And like I say, I'm just admitting to you that there have been times in my life when it was a struggle to not say certain things. And I'll be honest with you, there are times when something hits me hard, buddy, I'm thinking it. And I may not be able to control that, but I can control what comes out of my mouth. If you have to walk off somewhere and bite your tongue, You cannot always control your emotions, but you can control the reactions to those emotions. God has given you that. You're not an animal. A dog cannot control his bark. They cannot control that. It's instinctive. And if their mind thinks to bark, they bark. You are not an animal. God has given you a rational conscience. That even though you think the words, and we think them, and we even know how to spell them, we don't have to say them, especially when it comes to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since we're on this, let's go to all the little sideline words. Dang and darn and those. I don't think y'all say them either. Okay? All the little side, I guess, what is there, like 7 dirty words that we're not supposed to say? Okay? There's about 50 sideline words that sound like them and are the same description of them. I think it'd be a good idea to stay away from those too.
Men, we can't say nothing now.
Hey, listen to this now. You listen to this. God just gave me this.
I'm getting revelation now from God.
Right out of the scripture. What was it that Job's friends wanted him to do? And die. And Job refused. Even though he had a... According to us, he had a right, didn't he? Job's friends wanted him to curse God and die. And Job just lifted up his hands toward heaven and said, God, you're to be praised. Now, that will not make your flesh feel better, but it'll certainly satisfy your soul. If instead of cursing, instead of taking God's name in vain, instead of talking dirty and telling dirty jokes at work and at school. Did you hear that, kids? Instead of you cursing at school and telling dirty jokes at school. And all those kids at school, they know you come to church on Sunday. Because you've had to miss out on some of the school stuff because you went to church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. They know you come. And yet they're hearing on your Facebook page some of the language you're using, and they're hearing it at school. And they know what the Bible just said, that if you're full of cursing, you're a fraud too. And if you come here on Sunday morning and you say, bless God, praise Jesus, hallelujah, wave your Bible up in the air, and you go out and rub shoulders with lost people and use that kind of language, you are a fraud. The Bible said so, and your lost friends know it. I'm done preaching. I want you to bow your head this morning. I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm going to have a pew call. Now, if you want to come down to the altar, man, I'll run down here and pray with you. But I'm not trying to embarrass or expose anybody publicly. I preached on one issue today. And it is not my intention to embarrass or expose anybody. What I would like for you to do while you're sitting right there in your pew is for you to bow your head and say, God, I am a lawbreaker. I did it. Brother Mike, he never heard me, but the Holy Ghost told him to preach this. I've got a filthy mouth. I've taken your name in vain. I've cursed using the name of Jesus Christ. And I went out and rubbed shoulders with lost people, and they know I go to church, and they've heard me laugh and cut up and be just as dirty as everybody else is. God, I'm guilty, and I need to be forgiven. And God, I can't control my mouth, and I need help. Heavenly Father, I love you. And Lord, I had a hard time. Lord, I wasn't going to preach this part of it. I was going to preach something else. Lord, you're sovereign. You're in charge. And I ask you, dear God, Lord, to just whatever you want to preach, Lord. And Lord, Father, this was it. I'm convinced of it, God. This was it. Lord, I know, God, that, Lord, when I preach and there's not a lot of amens, God, it's not because they're disagreeing, Lord. It's just we just get under conviction, God. And we get quiet. Because we know, God, we know we're guilty. And so, Father, Lord, I'm asking you, dear God, Lord, to heal some. Lord, do what you do with bitter water. You sweeten it. Lord, you were at the waters of Meribah and you healed the bitter waters, dear God, so people could drink. And Lord, we just know, God, Lord, that there's some lost people out there that we know and we see all the time. And we justify it, God. So, well, we're just trying to be cool and like everybody else, so maybe they'll see Jesus. But the truth of it is, God, we're just feeding bitter waters to them, and they're not going to drink that. Lord, help us to be fountains of sweet water so that the thirsty lost people, dear God, would know that coming out of our mouths, Lord, is the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. And God, it's hard. We get angry. We get upset. We get worn out, God, and our minds just don't work right. And Lord, we do have this flesh, and God, we have no power, Lord, over those things. We're asking God for help. It's not that we don't want to keep the law. It's just that this stupid flesh of ours, dear God, hates it and won't let us a lot of times. So, Father, Lord, it'd be okay with us, God, Lord, if you just crucified it again one more time. Help us take up our cross daily, deny our flesh, so we can follow you. Father, forgive us, Lord, of our filthy mouth. Forgive us, dear God. Lord, Father, forgive us of taking pleasure in the cursing of other people. Forgive us of that, God. It's wicked. And put sweet things in our mouth and in our heart, dear God, so that that's what comes out of us. Thank you, dear God, for your law. Thank you, Lord, for it. It's good. Help us, dear God, and forgive us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness.
So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.